Today being a tech day, I kind of want to do what I did a little bit a few podcasts ago where I combined two episodes into one. And so I want to combine tech and crypto together today to kind of give you an insight of something that I don't think anyone's noticed. But it has to do with the tech of crypto exchanges and how this really could be the downfall of crypto in some form. So the backlog is a little different today than other days. I know every handful of podcasts I say this, and so let's go right into it. So today's backlog is about exchanges, and so we have a handful of different kinds of exchanges. We have what you would call your basic exchange, or where a company is doing the exchanging for people so they can go from one crypto to another, or even in some cases to fiat. And then we have opened or decentralized exchanges, which are exchanges ran by individuals to help other individuals obtain the currency they'd rather have. And the person running the exchange obviously does make something out of it, which is great for the type of times we're in right now, where cryptocurrency is all about giving back to the people what they lost from their governments. And that's the value of having value of currency. And decentralized exchanges give back now exchange value to the people. So one of the big issues I see is not a whole lot of people really do decentralized exchanges. It's almost all of the exchanges out there are big time exchanges. And I've talked before where a bunch of the minor exchanges or smaller exchanges are only ran by a handful of parties, and many of them have multiple exchanges, which through this process of having tons of exchanges or minor level exchanges with lower liquidity, as a sum, they have higher liquidity, which means you're able to get in or take out more value over the bunch instead of a single exchange. So what I'm pointing at is exchanges like Binance, places like Coinbase, which I know they claim to be a wallet, but they're actually an exchange. Bigger exchanges like this, even Shapeshift is in trouble of this. And what it is they have a monopoly on the currencies they're allowing people to exchange. And the reason why I say they have a monopoly on these currencies is because their exchange, you know, just these three, each of them holds and technically owns a large portion of crypto. I do believe Binance has like over 1% or somewhere between 1 and 8% of all of the Bitcoin in existence right now. And what that means is that these exchanges have such a large amount of crypto at their disposal that they can monopolize how that currency is. For example, when we saw Justin Sun get with Binance, you know, CZ from Binance, and they used Steemit tokens from users to vote and do witness actions against the Steemit platform, which, in case you're wondering, that means they actually did something against the community of Steemit. And this kind of shows exactly what I mean by the monopoly. So if you don't know what I mean by Justin Sun got with CZ, the owner of Binance, to perform voting power and witness action against the Steemit community, go look that up right now and then come back for the more rest. To start this off, you really need to listen to the backlog. You really need to go find out how much crypto the eight top exchanges really own, because I do believe the top eight exchanges together as like a single pool, it's like over 25% of the Bitcoin that is available right now is actually owned in these people's hands. And these people, each one of these exchanges are owned and operated by a single entity. It means that one person is the head of the company. One person makes all the final decisions. It's not distributed amongst multiple individuals. It's not a board member situation, multiple CEOs, or anything like that. It's single individuals. And I've been saying for years, like, if you're messing with exchanges, you better mess with an exchange that is decentralized, because a centralized exchange is a bank. That's all it is. And Coinbase is the perfect example of this, because Coinbase started off simply as a wallet, turned exchange, turned bank. And I still believe in the principle of delete Coinbase because of everything Coinbase has done over the years, including the well, I don't know how else to explain this, but they won't allow you to send to some wallets, receive from some wallets, because of whatever reasoning on their behalf, or to keep themselves out of trouble. And I say that in the very least amount of way, because those are the words they put on their websites, not the actual situation. They don't ever want to get in trouble. And they're only doing the exchange, they're only doing the stuff to make money. So, because of this, they could easily be purchased. The owners could be bought out. Just like we saw with Steemit blockchain, the Steemit website company, the thing with most of the pre-mined coins, with a ton of coins for the Steemit blockchain, was purchased by Tron Sun. Sorry, Justin Sun, the owner of Tron, creator of Tron, which a lot of people call Tron a centralized currency because of the owner, the way he does things. And he's been monopolizing the system. He's monopolizing cryptocurrency. And so if some entity wanted to remove crypto, because maybe it's a power front, it's any kind of anything to force out fiat, and they could just buy these exchanges out and delete the private keys, delete the currency, delete the possibility of using those unspent transaction or those UTXOs. And with that could be devastating. And let's stick to Bitcoin as an example here. 25% or more of Bitcoin that is available right now is owned by centralized exchanges. If someone, like anybody, like the people doing the American digital dollar, you know, the private company that is the Federal Reserve, it's not actually a part of the US government, and it just works with the US government. And the whole reason why that was in the first place was so that the government didn't have absolute control over the money. Technically, the Federal Reserve was supposed to ask for permission to print money by the government, but a long time ago, the government gave that option and ability to banks, people who directly work for the Federal Reserve. And I don't mean that as the way it actually sounds, but I mean that if the Federal Reserve makes a statement or a situation or they say something, the banks have to follow through, or they'll lose their insurance given by the government. They will lose the ability to gain more bank credit by the Federal Reserve, and they will lose their ability to be a bank at the high ground that they want to be. Because no matter what these exchanges and banks tell you, if they are centralized, they're there for profit. A lot of the decentralized exchanges don't make a dime, or they make next to nothing, or 1% or less than 1% on the trades and on everything that's going on. And the banks that are decentralized, the co-op banks, for example, I know there's probably not a whole lot of them in America, but they are in other countries like Canada. They are not there for the profit. They are there for the customer, because the customers own the bank. They're all co-owners. And that's kind of the point in decentralizing. With co-ownership, we can remove the ability for someone to do something like what I'm describing. And that's just simply delete the money. Here's another option. Say the Federal Reserve wants the value that Bitcoin holds, especially now that the halving is coming closer and closer. We're under 30, I believe we're under 35 days, or around 35 days until the halving-ish. Then let's say they grab a hold of these exchanges' money. They buy out the owners of these exchanges. These top eight exchanges gain 25% or more of Bitcoin, and they wait for the halving. Right at the time of the halving, if they delete, well, up into the time of the halving, so before the halving, if they was to delete the UTXOs, all that would do is later cause a higher increase in value in Bitcoin. Because remember, we're using Bitcoin as an example. Because maybe people wouldn't know for a while that those UTXOs are not ever available again. Those private keys have been deleted, so those coins can't move. But the people that running those ex people on those exchanges would notice, because then they would no longer be able to receive Bitcoin from that exchange, or a new wallet would have to be used, or something like that, and that would cause a red flag in the caretaking system of Bitcoin. I'm using Bitcoin as an example. I don't know if how many cryptocurrencies actually have caretaker systems. And what is a caretaker system? It is people watching the chain so closely that they know what exchanges is what wallet, how many wallets an exchange has. And every time a new wallet appears for that exchange, they see it, because they are influencing the wallets. They're sending dust to these wallets. They're seeing how these wallets are being moved, pushed, and used. They are doing chain analysis to find out. Now, it would take some time, but they would figure it out. That would cause an increase in value over time. But let's say they buy off these exchanges, let the exchanges continue. Then, at the halving, the value of Bitcoin goes up slowly, because the amount of Bitcoin that can be mined per 10 minutes has reduced in half. So the supply has been reduced in half. Then they delete the UTXOs. The value of Bitcoin would dip hard, almost dramatically. And I say that because I don't mean like a 50% dip. I'm talking 80 or percent or more of a dip. Enough to be considered a crash. And the second you see that 80%, 90%, 99%, 100% down Bitcoin, the people who are in Bitcoin for the money to receive fiat on the other end, they would leave. They would leave. They're mostly traders. They are mostly scammers. They are not the people mining it. They are not the people actually involved in it. They are only helping with transactions. And sometimes not really. A lot of traders are like exchanges. They receive coins, but they never give out coins. Just on their people's portfolios does it say coins were moved for this, for that, for fiat, whatever. But you don't actually have to move them. And that's kind of off-chain usually. And every crypto can be used off-chain. So that is a very serious situation, because these exchanges, these people, these everything can just destroy us. Now, let's go back to the whole point of the Federal Reserve with the digital dollar. With the digital dollar just now being released by the Federal Reserve, a private company with tons of fiat at their disposal, they can easily use a lot of this freshly minted fiat to buy off these exchanges, and then after the halving, send the Bitcoin or the altcoins or all the coins to the Federal Reserve's digital dollar, and then delete those UTXOs. Now the money is in digital dollar, USD, or whatever it was called, the digital United States dollar, would then go up in value, causing everyone's fiat to not actually change in value. But the amount of value that the Federal Reserve has would go up. And that's a real terror. I know this sounds much like a conspiracy theory, but we have to look at a few things here. The United States president just implemented, or by say just recently implemented martial law. And by using an act that was voted in by the people 20 or 30 or more years ago, because of the coronaviruses or the COVID-19, which, in case you don't know, the CDC.gov, another private entity or private company that works with the government of the United States, has considered coronaviruses, because there's more than one, a common cold since 2010. That means that the U.S. government, implemented an act that originally was only implemented in the first place by the people without the people's knowledge. Like, no, there was no vote that went into place to say, yes, we want to re-implement martial law to save us. That was never done this time. Instead, the U.S. government said, because it's been done before and the people voted back then for it because of the 50 million people that were dying, we're going to do it again without the people's permission. Governments everywhere have locked their entire government down. Almost the entire globe is under lockdown. And maybe not all at the same time, but in retrospect, the entire globe is in lockdown because of a virus, because of a common cold. Why is that so into the situation of the crypto? It happened when Bitcoin was back at $10,000. It happened before the halving, causing people to have to use their Bitcoin. And now people who actually participate with Bitcoin, they're mining it, they're needing it, they're using it, are losing their Bitcoin because they have to use it. And they can't go to work. They can't find other ways to earn fiat to help with their bills and such, or their pay to buy more equipment or whatever they do. And many poorer people from lower middle class and down they've lost their jobs. They have no job. And many of them were using their job to purchase Bitcoin, purchase crypto, because they don't have the time, resources, or knowledge to mine it, to stake it. They don't know that. And it was one of the reasons why I do these podcasts, is to teach those people. But it still takes time and energy and effort, something people don't always have. Even though they have time and energy and effort now, they don't have the money to sustain for a period of time, let alone spend more money on electricity, buy more equipment, and do more than what they normally would do because they have less to do it with. This all is happening around now. You could say that it's all coincidental, but keep in mind, America, the FBI, I believe the FBI in America, USA, had already arrested two individuals, one person for developing the current COVID-19 strand of the coronaviruses, which his lawyer is claiming it was supposed to be a vaccine for SARS. And there are multiple different SARS vaccines that used COV or coronaviruses of the past, because that's been done before. In the past, we've made vaccines by using other viruses or portions of other viruses and implementing it into other viruses to cause a less deadly version. Now, one thing I will disclaim is, so far, every vaccine made for SARS has turned into a corona-type virus and has become more deadly than SARS. Now, I still believe that the coronavirus has not actually impacted the world in the way that people have been saying. I mean, we're just now at the point of today and yesterday getting to a point where the coronavirus is actually killing more people than the common cold. And I say that meaning other common colds than this current strand of the coronavirus. So, if you still think this is coincidental, then go find the article on the FBI arrests for the person who developed and created the SARS vaccine, COVID-19, and the person who was arrested and is being charged for selling this strand to heads and members of China. This includes one of the two research facilities in Wuhan. Because it doesn't matter if it's a conspiracy or not. The fact that all this is happening where it's happening does put governments, agencies, and everyone that the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency ecosystem is out to remove, which is the government's ability to control people through fiat. Because cryptocurrency allows people to fully own their fiat or their crypto, their money, their value, their wealth. It would not take much to use these $6 trillion that was freshly printed for the United States government's Federal Reserve. And even though there's like $4 trillion of it not being allocated of the freshly minted U.S. dollar, the Federal Reserve still has trillions upon trillions of dollars to use at their will and their disposal as they see fit. If they see value in Bitcoin, especially at the halving, when it starts to go up, and a lot of the altcoins that are backed by it, Bitcoin, start to go up, well, it would be a really good value to buy off those exchanges for their Bitcoin, their crypto, their altcoins. Move that money to the digital dollar and delete those coins. Because the way exchanging really works is we're not actually taking one currency and putting it into another currency. We're putting the eyes of value from one currency to another currency. When I use an exchange and I send my Monero to get Bitcoin, the Monero isn't done. It's not dead. My UTXO is spent, but now they have fresh UTXOs for that coin. They sent their Bitcoin from their wallet to my wallet. Those Bitcoins did not get deleted. Only their UTXO was spent. And I got a new UTXO to spend. But if you wanted to delete those UTXOs instead of moving them, it's possible. So if we moved all of these exchanges' value, all their altcoins, their crypto, to the digital dollar resourcing, so that in the eyes of the people around everything, everyone looking at this, would see the value moved from Bitcoin, whatever, to digital dollar, even though it didn't really happen. And then once those coins are deleted, now the value perceived by the people and everyone, I mean literally globally everyone, it would be in the digital dollar, which would then give the Federal Reserve more value to their digital dollar, to their dollar. So your actual cash on hand did not change in value. Only the people who have the power over your cash on hand and your digital cash and your credit that the bank gives or the bank has, which is given by the Federal Reserve, has increased. Now they have more value to spend and there's less in the ecosystem. Now, I already described how doing this after the halving could be devastating. Let's look at that just a little bit more. If they delete the UTXOs after the halving, it could take 6 months or a year to even notice that they were actually deleted. The other thing is it would cause chaos in the ecosystem. Big heads in the crypto spheres, the people who have a lot of attention, a lot of clout, a lot of followers, they would be able to say, there's no value in this coin. And that coin would plummet because all their followers would believe them and leave that coin, to stop using it. And that's the real horror, because there are individuals and entities at hand, like Soros, George Soros has shown, that have so much power and ability, they can destroy economies, countries, civilizations, and ecosystems, whether it's digital or in real life. There's nothing stopping them, because we've given exchanges so much crypto, so much Bitcoin, so much altcoins, because people wanted fiat in their hand. Even Cash App is denying deposits from some locations because those locations are not Coinbase. They are not these other groups and entities of exchanges that are centralized. So they can't trust that crypto. And really, and honestly, they can't. They choose not to. Because if they accept it, and it's not coming from another exchange entity or another head that's in, that could be involved in this situation, then the people would be able to figure out what's going on faster. I know that sounds crazy, but because of chain analysis, because Coinbase, because Binance, because Shapeshift, because Cash App, because Monarch Wallet, because these systems of centralized exchanges are actually a coin tumbling service, they don't want to start accepting all the cryptos for you to have fiat in your hand. I know that sounds strange, but think about it. If you get more fiat in your hand than you have crypto, and they have more crypto, they do have a higher percentage of being bought out or being purchased by a higher entity for more money. But at the same time, that gives more chain analysis, or people doing chain analysis, an ability to see what's actually going on. Chain analysis has been a burden on everybody. It's caused some bitcoins and some cryptocurrencies to be they're fungible, which means some of them are not considered as good as others because some of them were involved in, you know, they're down the line, the wallet one of these UTXOs shifted from was from a scam wallet or from a scammer's wallet or from this wallet, from the Silk Road. And when companies who are exchanging Bitcoin for fiat deny Bitcoin from a 2009 wallet that's never been in any exchange, never been in any scam or Ponzi scheme, never was with Silk Road, and was before Silk Road, they're scared to receive that coin. Because if that was a Satoshi wallet, or what people in the outside around the system believe that was a Satoshi wallet, well then guess what? It would prove that Satoshi, a single entity, is a lie. And that won't destroy Bitcoin. That won't destroy everybody's belief. But then that would cause people to do research and find out that over 8 people have already been arrested as Satoshi, and that there are more people out there who actually are Satoshi. And then that makes more fear into the fiat people, the fiat entities, because then maybe they don't know exactly how many people were involved in the beginning. And just like that, today's episode was sponsored by 3dbcls.com. A newly decentralized website has just been done. So if you're on Anchor, you click on the button on your screen where it says 3dbcls.com, and you'll go directly to the brand new website. You don't have to copy a link and paste it. Automatically, you're going to go there, and automatically, you're going to be able to go to faucets and go to collections and go to pay to do, and you're going to be able to collect free crypto and earn free crypto without exchanges. You can also learn quite a bit there, like what wallets to use and things like that.